All right, Colossians chapter 2. I hope you're there tonight. And, you know, I was thinking as I was getting ready to teach tonight, if a guy is, by the way, if you need a handout, lift your hand up high. Our ushers would be glad to give you one if they missed you. If a guy is going to go pastor a church, Pastor Rich, say he's going to take a church, and he goes and he takes a church to pastor a church, and he gets there, and there's just multiple issues that he has to deal with in the church. You know, if there is a book that would encourage a guy like that, it would be the book of Colossians. Because Paul is having to deal with one issue after another in this book. And as we approach verse 20 through 23, it's another issue. And it's the issue, it says in your handout, of asceticism. Real quickly, let me give you the definition of that, and then we're going to read some verses here. In your handout, it says an ascetic is a person who practices strict self-denial as a measure of personal and especially spiritual discipline. All right, so with that in mind, an ascetic is somebody who practices rigid self-discipline when it comes to spiritual matters. Notice that, or self-denial, you know, as a matter of spiritual discipline. Let's begin reading in verse 20, and let's look at it. Wherefore, Paul said, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but then he says, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. There were obviously false teachers that had infiltrated the church of Colossae, and they were propagating the idea that a person is more spiritual if they can deny themselves, for example, certain foods, or if they can live by certain religious rules and regulations. That's why he says in verse 21, touch not, taste not, handle not. An ascetic loves knots. They love knots, you know. Touch not, taste not, handle not. In your handout, it says the ascetic has a rule for everything. They have a rule for everything. And the thing is this, most of the times, the rules, and this is what makes it bad, is that the rules are not biblical commands. They're not clear-cut biblical commands. Now, man, when the Bible gives us a clear-cut command, should we obey it? Yes or no? Yes. I mean, we rightly divide it. We make sure it's a command for the dispensation of grace. And if it is, we just obey it. And I understand that. But the ascetic, their rules don't really have to do with clear-cut Bible commands. They have to do with rules that they've either made up or rules that they have been conditioned by somebody else, a church or religion or another person. It's rules that they have been conditioned to believe to be real, real important. Now, let me just say this too off the bat, kind of a disclaimer. When we talk about this thing of the ascetic and trying to live by rules, and that's, we're going to see, that's not the way Paul says to live the Christian life. But let me say this to kind of as a disclaimer. We're not talking about, in context here, we're not talking about parental rules for kids. We're not talking about school rules. We're not talking about employee rules and guidelines at work. We're not talking about governmental laws and rules in our society that govern our society. Okay, those are all a part of life, and we have to obey them. Okay, I mean, you know, as a parent, you have a responsibility to lay down certain rules. Okay, I cannot go to a Bible verse and show my kids, thou shalt be in bed at 10 o'clock. But do I have a right to set that rule? Yeah, as long as they live under my roof, I've got to set some boundaries, you know, and that's my job as a parent. I have to do that. And as long as they live under my roof, of course, they have to obey those rules. You know, when you go to a college, whether it be DSC, Bethune-Cookman, whether it be the college here for those who are studying chiropractors, whether it be a school, you know, like a high school, there's going to be rules. Am I right? There's going to be guidelines. Now, do they have to obey the rules? Yep. If not, well, find another school, right? Go find another college. But you got to obey the rules. You know, if you don't, you know, if you're going to work for an employer, you're going to have to go by their rules and guidelines. They're going to have rules. They may have dress codes. They may have things. This is the way they want you to do it. If you want to work there, you're going to do it. If you don't want to obey the rules, don't work there. It's that simple. Okay, so rules are a part of life. Don't get me wrong. That we every day we have to obey rules. You go down the road, okay, and the speed limit says 35. Cop pulls you over for doing 50, and you say, "Don't you dare say my pastor said I don't have to live by rules." All right, don't you dare say that, because there are rules everywhere we go in society, and we have to obey those many times. So, I'm not talking about that. Here's what Paul's dealing with. Paul is dealing with rules that supposedly make one more spiritual. They get them more in tune with God. By following these rules, these man-made rules and commandments, they make me more pleasing to God. They make me spiritually a cut above others. That's the issue Paul's dealing with. And, you know, there's something, I have a little bit more than that, Israel. I'm struggling. There's something in the human heart that wants to prove I'm a cut above others. You know, I'm not that bad. I've earned God's acceptance. I have achieved a higher religious standard. I have attained a deeper spiritual life than the average guy. And there's something in us that wants to think that about ourselves. So we have to have a way to measure it to make sure we're on top. We got to have a way to measure it. So we come up with these rules, these religious rules, spiritual rules, that we think make us a cut above somebody else. That's the issue Paul's dealing with here. And it's the fundamental idea of Satan's world system. In your handout, it says, and here it is, the fundamental idea of Satan's world system is a religion that begins with self. A religion that begins with self. Gave you a couple examples there in your handout. You remember Satan's plan of rebellion against God? They all started with I will. I will. It's about me. It's about my accomplishments. It's about what I can achieve. It's about what I can do. I will ascend. I will ascend. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will ascend into the heavens. I will be like the Most High. And we've looked at those five I wills of Satan. See, that's the idea of Satan's system. I will. It's all about self. It's all about what you can achieve. What did Satan do? He had that plan of rebellion that started with I will, and then what does he do? He deceives Adam and Eve, and as soon as they're all expelled from the garden, what does he do? Genesis 4, he goes right to Cain and Abel. And you got Abel, who brings a lamb. He brings a lamb to worship God as God had instructed, a blood sacrifice. And what does Cain try to bring to God? He's going to bring the fruit of the ground that he toiled, that he sweated over, that he accomplished. I grew this stuff. And I'm going to take this and I'm going to offer it to God because this is my work. This is my self-effort. And of course, we know that God rejected Cain's offering. You see, Satan's world, Satan's philosophy, as soon as he left the garden, Satan implemented his religion. Now listen to me. He implemented his religion of self-effort. 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 One of the largest sections of any bookstore that you go in. Is it going to be the section God help? Hey, where's the God help section? Huh? No, what's the largest section in any bookstore? Self-help. Self-help. That's not an accident, folks. That's the religion of Satan. And again, I'm not saying every book in that section's bad, okay? You know, but I'm making a point, all right? And that's that is Satan's world philosophy and worldview. Self-help. You help yourself. You pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And that's what Paul's dealing with here in Colossians in this section. In your handout, he's dealing with people who think they can sanctify the soul. They think they can sanctify the inner man, the soul, through discipline of the body. Can you hear okay? It's okay. I didn't give you that? Okay. What didn't I give you? Denial. Yeah, that blank is denial. By practicing denial, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I did skip over that. I see it now. Yeah, religious and non-religious people think they'll achieve a deeper spirituality by practicing denial of certain things and practicing rigid self-discipline. The idea that he's dealing with here is they think, I'm going to be more spiritual if I deny myself certain foods. Or maybe certain foods on certain days. I'm going to deny my body that. I'm going to deny myself a marriage relationship. Why? Because my religion says you got to deny yourself that. I'm going to deny myself maybe certain types of clothing or certain modern conveniences. I'm going to have this denial of these things. Thinking that's going to somehow, you know, sanctify my inner man. And that's the blank I just gave you there. If you look in your handout, people who think they're going to sanctify the inner man, the soul, through discipline of the body. Go with me to the right a couple books. Keep your bookmarker here. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Allergies are really bad. That's why I'm probably needing more tonight. Anybody having allergy issues or this congestion? All right, look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, here you go. Notice, what did I just get done telling you? What is Satan's system all about? It's about self. It's about my religious rules. It's about the stuff I keep and I do. Well, look at it. Verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Notice he gives you some examples of doctrines of devils. Verse 3, what's the first one? Forbidding to marry. What's the next one? Commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Now, do you think that this stuff goes on today, yes or no? Yeah. And it goes on in supposed Bible-believing churches. There are churches out there say they're Bible-preaching church. And if a lady wears a pair of breeches, she's ostracized. I'm serious. If a man wears shorts, you know, that you are just a lesser Christian if you put on a pair of shorts. You know? Personally, my wife kind of likes me in shorts, so, you know, I'm just kidding. You know? The idea, I don't wear shorts. I don't eat pork chops, or I don't drink coffee. Now, that's one I'll never understand. But there are, quote, Bible-teaching churches that preach against that stuff. You know? And the thing is this, you know, You go back in the 70s, and I remember hearing they'd preach against guys wearing a colored shirt like this. You know, you got to wear a white shirt. Just stuff, you know, that supposedly puts you a cut above other people. Now, does any of that stuff impress God? Not one bit. In your handout, it says God is not impressed by our keeping of religious rules and disciplines. He's not impressed by that. He is not God. I mean, what do we think? Do we think God's up in heaven going, "Ooh, wow, he doesn't drink coffee. Woo! Wow, God's up in heaven going, "Ooh, wow, she doesn't wear makeup. Ooh, wow. That is so amazing." God's just up in heaven, just blown away, man. You know. Ooh, God's up in heaven saying, "Ooh, he doesn't wash his car on Sunday. Wow." You know, just stuff that we come up with, you know? And, you know, it's like, just, and it's all so subjective. Like I said, it's not Bible stuff. It's not Bible commands. It's like, you know, one woman thinks she's a kind of a cut above other ladies because she makes sure her shirt's sleeves always come down here. She doesn't wear anything, make sure her shirt sleeves always come down to her. And man, that just really is really important. But then some other woman looks at her as a sinner because she thinks she ought to have you down past your elbow. And then some woman up there in Amish country, she thinks she's a sinner because it should be down here to her wrists. You know, so it's all subjective. One woman thinks the woman over here that's where the woman who thinks she's really something because she wears them here, some other woman thinks she's ungodly. See? Because her rule says here. Then some other woman says, "Well, no, it ought to be here." Do y'all see what I'm saying? Amen? Do you see? How all this stuff, it doesn't impress God. Now, you know, here's the thing. And again, I know that, you know, we have a dress standard for our choir. That's the way it is. I mean, it's like a college, it's like work, it's like anywhere else. There does have to be some guidelines when you're in a public setting and a lot of people are involved. But never once do we ever give our choir the impression, "Well, because you dress this way, you're a cut above, or you're more spiritual, or you're more godly, or you're above other ladies." No, it's just a practical standard. Hey, we got to draw the line somewhere. This is what we do on Sunday morning. This is how we dress for the platform. It's just a practical thing. But it's not something that we do to try to be more godly or to try to achieve a deeper spirituality. Now, let me share this with you. Christ has come to the earth, fulfilled all righteousness, gave himself on the cross for our sins, rose from the dead, forever defeating it. Now, God offers you Christ life. He offers you Christ righteousness as a free gift. Now, folks, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I know you can't earn a free gift. You cannot achieve a free gift. And God gives you Christ's life and Christ's righteousness as a free gift. How do you get it? You just receive it by faith. Paul was a man full of religious disciplines. But he talks about that in Philippians 3, how, you know, "I was a Pharisee and I was zealous of the law and I did this and I did that." And then he proceeds in Philippians 3 to tell us how that he traded all that for the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then this is what he said. He said, "And be found in him." Paul said, "You know what? Now my desire, I just want to be found in Christ. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Not by religious rules, not by religious disciplines, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then he says, all that stuff that I used to call religious accomplishment, all the stuff that was gained to me, he said, "You know what?" He said, "It's dung. All that religious accomplishment is dung." Say, "What are you? What dung? No, dung. D-U-N-G. Dung. Now, folks, I know what dung is. I got a golden retriever lives in the backyard. And I know what that's good for, and that is just to shovel it up and just do that. Good for nothing. Just you shovel it up, you know. And Paul said, all my religious accomplishment was dung in comparison to Jesus Christ and what He offers. And then if you go back to Colossians 2:20, there he says, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ. Now the Bible teaches that we're dead with Him. We're crucified with Christ. And then he taught in Romans 6:7, he that is dead is freed from sin. What does that mean on a practical level? Religious rules and disciplines are not going to help a dead man. Right? Religious rules and religious disciplines aren't going to help a dead man. He's not subject to those. We say, what's the dead man need? He doesn't need another religious rule. A dead man needs life. Amen? He needs supernatural life. Paul's asking them, why would you subject yourselves to man-made rules and religious commandments and doctrines and ordinances? He said, you're dead with Christ and you're not subject to those. And then look what he says in verse 20. He said, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. Rudiments is the fundamental, what that word rudiments means is it means it's the fundamental idea or principle of Satan's world system. The world says, it's all about you, man. It's all about your ability to discipline yourself. It's all about your ability to overcome. It's all about your ability to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. That's the rudiments of the world. Paul teaches, I'm dead to the world system. I'm dead to its ideas. I am dead with Christ and I'm risen with Him and I have been translated into a new kingdom. I have spiritual life now pulsating in my inner man. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. In your handout. Satan's world system says it's all about you and your ability to keep these man-made rules and spiritual disciplines, and through these disciplines you attain to a deeper spiritual life. That's Satan's world system right there in a nutshell. Man, it's about you. You got to keep the rules. You got to keep these spiritual disciplines. You got to do what the church says to do or whatever. And through, if you do that and you do it well, you will attain to a deeper spiritual life and maybe be pleasing to God. Here's what Paul says. Here's what the Bible says. In your handout, Paul teaches that it's all about Christ and the life that I now have in Him. I am complete in Him. I'm a new creature in Him. Everything I need is found in Him. And as I yield myself to Him, to Christ in me, He lives His victorious life through me. Through me. That's what Paul teaches. It's what he's taught all through the book. You go back to Colossians 1:11. Go back, chapter 1, real quick. Real quickly, run back to Colossians 1:11. What did he say? Strengthened with all might according to... I'm in verse 11, 1:11. How am I strengthened? Am I strengthened by keeping rules? No, I'm strengthened with all might according to what? His glorious power. His. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 29, whereunto I also labor, Paul said, man, I'm out there striving, but notice I'm striving according not to my working, to what? His working, which worketh where? Are y'all getting it? Which worketh in me mightily. Go down to chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Not in rules, in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the faith, as ye have been taught, there, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 10, what did he say? That's the theme of the book right there. You're complete in Him. You're complete in Him. This is what Paul's taught all through the book. Look up here. Let me make it real practical. What I put in my mouth, what I put in my mouth, what I hang on this old fleshly body, what I hang on this body, what I put in this mouth, what disciplines I put my body through is not going to strengthen me in my inner soul and spirit. Now, having said that, you know what? What you put in your mouth and what that kind of stuff, it might help you lose weight. It might help control your blood pressure. It might give you more energy. Clearly, what I put in my mouth is going to have physical repercussions. But what he's teaching here is that, you know, touch not, taste not, handle not. Your physical discipline may carry with it health benefits, but it cannot bring true spiritual victory. Outward discipline doesn't bring inward sanctification. Only Christ can do that. And in your handout, it says, it is Christ and His Spirit that strengthens me spiritually. He's all I need. And then it says in your handout, I don't look to rules and disciplines. I look to Christ. As I grow in Him, the work He does internally. Now listen to this. As I look in faith to Christ, as I trust the Lord Jesus who lives within me, as I grow in Him and in my knowledge of Him and in my relationship with Him, He does a work in me, in my spirit. Now, do you think that the work He does internally, do you think it's going to work its way out in my actions? Well, sure. It's going to work its way out very naturally, externally. Paul's going to show us that in chapter 3. That the work He does within does work its way out. And it's going to affect the way I talk to Pastor Rich. You know? It's going to affect the decisions I make daily in my life. But the work of sanctification has to be through Christ working in me. It's not me putting myself through rigorous self-discipline in order to achieve a spirituality. It's Christ doing the work in me and then that working out of me naturally. You know, I'm very leery of books, you know, and things that talk about, you know, spiritual disciplines and these things. I'm real leery of all that stuff because it's what Paul's talking about here. He says in verse 21 there, look at it, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Go real quick. I was hoping I'd have time. I think I do. Go over to Romans 7. I really wanted you to see this cross-reference, and I was kind of hoping. I wrote it in. You can write it in your handout. I wrote it in by hand in my notes because it's just kind of hit me as I was looking at this. Before I came over tonight, this cross-reference hit me. In Romans 7, Paul's dealing with the issue of our deadness to the law. And he says there in verse 4, this is a great verse. Wherefore, my brethren, Romans 7, 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. Now, how did I become dead to the law? By the body of Christ. Notice that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. Isn't that great? That we should bring forth fruit unto God. Isn't that a great verse? You guys aren't as excited as I was about that verse. I can tell. Y'all aren't as excited. Isn't it great to know I'm not married to the law? I'm married to a person, Jesus Christ. I'm dead to the law. See, so that I could be married to Christ. And He accomplished all that when you got saved through the cross work. I'm dead and buried with Him, which means I'm dead to the law, but then I got His resurrection life, which means now I got life. I can get married now to Christ. I'm united with Him. I'm joined to Him. So now I can live my life based on my relationship with Christ, not based on a bunch of externals. Religion's all about externals. The Christian life's about a walk in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 6, Romans 7, 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the what? When he means the letter of the law. That's what he's talking about. I don't serve God now by pulling myself up and trying to live up to this standard of the law. No, now I serve the Lord because of an inward work in my spirit, newness of spirit. I'm a new man. I'm a new creature in Christ. I got a new spirit because of the work he's done in me internally. And now I do serve. There is outward ramifications, but it's because of the work he's done within. So anyway, I really wanted to go to that cross reference. Go with me back to Colossians 2 and we'll finish this up. Last verse, verse 23. And he summarizes this asceticism in verse 23 by saying, which things, talking about all the rule keeping, have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body. But then he says, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Now, what does that mean? There's a lot of words right there, and that can be a little tough. But here's what he's saying. There's a danger in the ascetic mindset, and here's the danger. An ascetic, someone who's living by rules, okay, they give up certain foods or they practice rigid rules and disciplines, and they attempt to practice religious self-denial. And in the process, they get puffed up. They get puffed up. And in your handout, it says, as they deny their bodies any physical enjoyments, they appear to be wise and humble. You know, they have earned a standing in God's presence to worship Him. I have earned a standing in His presence. That's what that means, will worship. It's talking about self-will. Through my self-effort and self-will, I have earned a right to be able to go into God's presence and talk to Him. But Paul says the reality is this is all an outward show. Because any attempt, it says in your handout, any attempt to worship God apart from the merits of Christ is will worship and is refused by God. Any attempt to worship God apart from the merits of Christ. When I go to the Lord in prayer, do I have access to God? Yes or no? Is it because I'm a pastor, I'm a great guy, and I do good things? No. It's on the merits of Jesus Christ that I have an audience with God and that God lives within me. I mean, I have to because He lives in me. So I got His presence with me 24/7. Paul's, and not only that, our self-denial cannot overcome the sinful cravings of the flesh. That's the deal. Hey, look, let me just be honest with you. You can try to set up this self-denial and it won't overcome the sinful cravings of your flesh. Your rules aren't going to help you to get victory over the flesh. He says there at the end of the verse, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It's not going to be satisfied. It's still going to rage. In your handout, it says, when we try and overcome a fleshly sin through fleshly effort, it only leads to another sin. You know what I'm talking about? I'll give you an example. So if I could have your attention just for a minute. There's no writing for a moment. The ascetic overcomes their desire. I'm just going to throw out a couple examples. This is random, okay? So, you know, I just want you to know this is just random illustration. But this person is an ascetic, and they overcome their desire or maybe their addiction to alcohol, say, for instance. And they do it through fleshly discipline, not through Christ in them, not through their walk with Christ, through fleshly discipline. What happens? That gives way to maybe gluttony. I don't drink anymore, but boy, I can eat with the best of them. So now I don't drink, but now I just am a glutton, and I overeat. So now the flesh has found another outlet, see? You're not going to give it alcohol. So flesh says, I'll take food. So now the ascetic has to overcome, and they overcome through their fleshly discipline, the issue of overeating. Not Christ in them. They overcome it just through fleshly discipline. So now you know what happens? They lose a bunch of weight. Now they become prideful in their outward appearance. So now gluttony has given way to the sin of pride. Now they're real prideful. I'm looking pretty good now. So now they're prideful about the way they look. So now because of the pride in their outward appearance, they want some new attractive clothes. And now maybe that leads to a spending addiction. And on and on and on and on we go. What's the lesson? Here's the lesson. It's in your handout now. Let's go ahead and get this. A couple more blanks. You cannot overcome the flesh through fleshly discipline and rules. It will not work. The flesh will just find another outlet to sin. So you cannot overcome the flesh through fleshly effort. It'll just find another outlet to sin. You know, you in your handout it says you can only overcome the flesh through the power of Jesus Christ. We rely on Him, we trust Him, we find our sufficiency in Him and in Him alone. And what's the theme of this chapter in the whole book? We are complete in Him. He is enough. He is enough. All right. That's chapter 2. Now, next week, we're going to get into chapter 3, and Paul's going to get really, really practical. We're going to get into some really practical things now in this next chapter, so I hope you'll be faithful and continue to come. All right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You, God, for what Paul teaches us here. Lord, that we cannot overcome the flesh through fleshly effort and rules, self-discipline. Lord, we know we can only do it through the power of Jesus Christ. Thank You that we're married to another, we're married to Christ, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Thank You for the change that You make in us, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Your power that resides in us. And if we're relying on You, we're victorious. But if we're just trying to overcome through fleshly self-effort and self-discipline, it's just going to give way to something else. So help us to see this clearly tonight. We love You. We praise Your name for it. In Jesus' name.